Megan, I have been using our sponsor Element, that's L-M-N-T, to boost my hydration for over a month now, and I'm really loving it. I'm just not very good at drinking plain water, and I love the taste when I pop one of these little packets, I like orange or grapefruit, into a big bottle of water. It's kind of fruity and salty, and it just helps me hydrate better overall.
Element is a zero-sugar electrolyte drink mix born from the growing body of research that shows the best health outcomes occur with higher sodium levels. Each little pack delivers a significant dose of electrolytes, but minus sugar, artificial colors, and other iffy ingredients. Element's flavors are so unique, like fruity watermelon salt and spicy sweet mango chili. And we're going to set our listeners up with a variety pack so you can find your favorite.
Right. You can receive a free Element sample pack containing 8 flavors with any drink mix purchase when you purchase through our custom link, drinkelement.com/momhour. That's DRINKELMNT/momhour. This offer is available exclusively through our partnership and is available for both new and returning customers. And if you're an Element insider, you'll have first access to Element Sparkling, a bold can of sparkling electrolyte water. Again, it's drinklmnt.com/momhour.
Hi, I'm Megan.
And I'm Sarah.
We're two moms with 8 kids between us, and we're the hosts of The Mom Hour.
On this show, we're joined by a team of unique mom voices from across the country and in different stages of motherhood to bring you tips, ideas, and encouragement, and to help you feel a little less alone.
We all know that motherhood is a lot easier when real moms share honest truths and remind each other that it's all going to be okay.
We're not experts. We're parents who've been there.
We're not perfect. We're real. Welcome to the Mom Hour.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to episode 456 of the Mom Hour. I am Sarah Powers here with Megan Francis. Hey, Megan.
Hey, Sarah.
Okay. Are you ready for this discussion?
I think I am. The funny thing is this does not feel at all loaded to me anymore. And I feel like, and we're talking about Instagram.
Yeah.
It to me feels like such a whatever these days, which is weird, isn't it?
Yes. But I'm sure we will get overthinky in sharing how we arrived at the whatever.
Like I 100% plan to get all up in my feels and such, but like, I don't feel loaded about it personally. I don't have any kind of clench, like, ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's over.
Well, this is a conversation I think that you and I have been having off the podcast for quite a while, and that also that I've been having with other people in my life off the podcast. And so I think what we're doing is we're just bringing the conversation to the wider community, and we are talking about Instagram. We're talking about how we've been... just our relationships with that platform. We will touch on some other social media platforms, but really it's about the Instagram today. I feel like on the podcast, we have dabbled in this topic. I remember when we did that episode just a couple of months ago about whether today's new moms have it easier. Yeah. And people seem to really enjoy that episode. We kind of like did a good 5 or 10 minutes on Instagram and social media, and we've done some other episodes that have touched on this. So clearly this has been on our minds for a long time. But more recently, both of us have arrived at a pretty different place with Instagram. And so we're going to talk about it. I also want to say this is not an episode where we want anybody to feel judged for their relationship to social media. I hope it is very clear from how we talk about it that we struggle with this as much as anybody else. And we don't think our decisions should impact anybody else. We're just literally like exploring them in real time.
Yeah. And honestly, I feel like we've danced around this, both you and I, for so long that it was almost a non-decision. Mm-hmm. I mean, we both basically aren't on Instagram right now.
Yeah.
And neither one of us made a big declaration. We didn't say we're going to detox. We didn't say, we're gonna like, this is something we're doing. It wasn't part of a challenge.
Right.
It just sort of happened, and it happened differently for both of us. And it's not unique. It's been in the water, obviously for a long, long time. But I feel like in the last 6 months, there's just been an awful lot of talk on the internet about being less on the internet.
I agree.
And Instagram being a particular target.
Yeah.
Not the only one. I just think we noticed that because we were on yeah. Instagram.
And sure people in platforms. in our milieu, writers, creators, I don't know, writer creators, I guess, have gravitated to Instagram. And then, like you said, I think some pretty large and public ones are publicly getting off. It does seem to be in that we're clearly not the only ones having this conversation.
We're not that unique. And I know that, you know, there were a lot of people in the writer space that were leaving Twitter in droves, and I just wasn't on Twitter anymore. So that didn't really affect me. Right. But now this is our playground. This is our sandbox. And so we notice it more. And when we were both ready to just kind of be like, kind of done.
Yeah.
It just so happened that we were drinking this from the same stream at the same time, I guess. But even the way it played out was different.
Yeah. And I think, I think that's one of the things I'm excited to talk about is, I think you and I both have a lot of thoughts, but I think we're pretty different in how we were using it and what didn't feel right about it. And so we'll have lots to dig into. Before we like really get into the meat of this conversation, I think the elephant in the room, and this is like going to sound so gross, but I think we need to talk about like what it means to have Instagram followers and where we were with our public Instagram. Because neither you or I were like, I'm going to try and get more followers or there wasn't anything like that. But I have noticed as I have processed my own feelings about Instagram, I've noticed when I'm chatting with somebody who has, I don't know, like 47 followers and it's all people they went to college with and friends and family, I can see the look in their eyes that they don't have the same platform experience that I do. And I'm not claiming to be any kind of mega influencer, but for the sake of our listeners to compare, I think it's important to say we both have public facing accounts, which means like anyone could come follow us. And over the years that we've both been on Instagram for 14 years, probably. Yeah. Something like that. 12 years, people from that we don't know in real life have chosen to follow us. We both have several thousand followers. And I'm just curious when you think about that, not that it's about the number, because for some reason that does sound like weird, but do you have any sense for like, who those people are, those 6,500 people? Like, do you think of that as a platform audience, or do you not even think about it?
Yeah. I mean, I sold a book to a publisher several months ago, and I am working on it, and it's going to publish in a little over a year. And I definitely used the fact that I had a decent sized following. Now, it wasn't an exciting following. I think I have like 6,500. So that's a number where like a publisher won't sneeze at it, but they're also not jumping up and down and like, give this girl a six figure advance. Like, it's not like that. Right. But it's a factor.
It legitimizes factor. You in some way.
In some way.
Yeah.
What I think is really funny about that, though, is how false that number, how false that idea even is. Books are not sold through Instagram. That's not how it works. And I think anyone who follows like big novelists or best-selling authors who have like 200 followers or never post or don't have an account at all know that there's a whole machine behind book publishing and book promotion and the reasons books really get in people's hands. Now, that's not to say there's no influence. I know book talk is huge, and I think that it can be one helpful piece of the puzzle. But I think we way overestimate what the size of our audience even means anyway.
Yeah.
It's not all 6,500 of the people who follow me on Instagram are ever even going to see me post about a book, let alone care enough to buy the book. So it's sort of a false sense of like influence, I think, to use that number at all. But I think the question you're really asking is, where do those people even come from?
Well, where do they come from? And also, do you think of them as any, like, I don't know how to ask this, but like, if there were,
are they my friends?
If there were 6,500 people gathered on a lawn, ready to hear you say something or show a picture you took, would you look out and like, do you think about the makeup of that group or do you have a sense for it?
It gets real. It's gotten really hard for me to tell. I would say when I first got on, I thought I had gotten on in 2012. I actually think I got on earlier than that, but never posted. And I feel like the very first picture was Clara on Christmas 2012. I can see it in my head. It was
I can see my first picture too. One of them. And Reed was just standing. So if he was one, it was 12 and a half years ago. Yeah.
Yeah. So when I first got on, I probably immediately racked up like 500 followers and they were all OG bloggers. This was before I would have had any other. I mean, I would have had Facebook, but those were all either people I knew in real life or OG bloggers, mm-hmm. like the people that I was already maybe talking with on Twitter or mm-hmm. something like that, right? So those were people that were, Instagram was definitely more like a professional at first. It was more other writer types, other creator types, and not where I don't think I had any local friends on Instagram until much, much later because most of my local friends weren't early adopters to those platforms. They were on Facebook. They weren't on Instagram.
Yeah. I also think with our age, we were it was slightly younger than us. So we were being, we were being more like digital savvy because of the work we were in. Whereas anyone who was our age for sure older was just not quite adopting as quickly. Yeah.
Yeah. And even now for me, the local people contingent is much stronger on Facebook. Do you remember when for a little while there you could follow, I don't even know if this is the case. I probably turned it off, but I feel like you could follow large swaths of people that you were Facebook friends with. It would say like so-and-so and like you could almost do it in bulk, I think. Now I often would do that because in those days, my feeling was the more people I follow, the better. Like I just kind of had this come one, come all attitude about it, but then they'd have a handle. So they'd often have like a different handle on Instagram that wasn't anything to do with their real name. And I would totally lose track of who that person was. And I've had a couple really weird experiences where I've been looking at someone on my Instagram and being like, wait, is that, you know, Donkey113? Is that Jenny? I mean,
from
honestly,
the block? Like,
from the block? Yes. And that's happened kind of a lot. And it's a little unnerving because then I realize how have I been interacting with those people? Are they like commenting and I'm saying something dumb or ignoring them? Like, I don't know. So there's that got a little weird. I am right now getting on and we'll talk a little bit more about how we are or aren't using Instagram a little bit later, I think. But I still get on my computer about 3 times a week. If I have, I just get on there and I'll look really quick. See if I have any DMs because everybody in my family, nobody's gotten the message and they all still send me DMs of things. And I post my like Substack and my podcast posts to Instagram through my computer. It's a very different experience. I don't see the same content on my computer that I used to see on my phone. And I'm like, okay, so why is my computer choosing to show me this? It feels like more local people actually.
Interesting.
And then super contentious content. So I'll get on and like right at the top, there'll be some really inflammatory post from someone I followed from a reel or something. And I'm like, oops, okay, guess that person's going away. And then I'll scroll for like 5 seconds, but there's the experience of scrolling on a desktop
computer
is not the same. So I'm wondering if things maybe just don't get bumped as fast or maybe my being on my computer tells the algorithm that I'm old. And they should give me different content. I really don't know. I don't know what it is, but it's different.
Okay.
So that's been interesting. And we're also going to talk about this a little bit later, but I just wanted to also say that I do think something has drastically changed in the way Instagram is serving content. Like, I know it's been changing all along, but I would say in the last like 6 months, I suddenly started to feel like people aren't even seeing my stuff. I put a post out there and get very little engagement on something that I know I would have at one point gotten engagement on. So I guess my answer is now, and it's like, who's on there? I don't know if anyone, like, I don't even know who. It's like talking into a void.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was very long winded, but I'm curious how you would answer that question.
Well, I think of the few thousand followers I have made the assumption that they are 90% listeners of the podcast because
I didn't even mention that. Yes, that was definitely huge.
Yeah. But whereas you have, I feel like continued to, you have, I think a few different types of audiences or people find you through different channels. You have a separate podcast. You have done more writing than I have in the last few years. So I feel like I don't know why anyone would follow me except for the Mom Hour. And that sounds like I'm putting myself down. I'm not putting myself down. I just haven't done a lot of other creative output on the internet other than this podcast for the last few years. So I assume they are all podcast listeners, and I'll get in later into like some of my hangups about posting on Instagram, but I just assume it's like we have on the Mom Hour, we have a certain number of followers. And I just feel like probably a third of those people have decided to also follow me personally, which means it feels like a lot of people I don't know personally, but maybe they like the work that we do. And then, yeah. And then there's a certain number of people I know in real life. But not all of them, to your point, like a lot of my closest people to me in real life are not on that platform at all. So like my family, some very close friends, some people in real life who I'm in contact with a lot do not even use Instagram, which has always been really interesting.
It is kind of interesting because I don't spend a lot of, well, I don't spend any time now really, but I don't spend a lot of time logged in as the Mom Hour. But when I do, it's interesting to see who pops up as someone I see a lot of via both accounts versus like, it's a very different feed. Mm-hmm. And that's interesting too. Like there's definitely a lot of crossover.
Yeah. Megan, the end of the school year and kickoff to summer is a busy time of the year for families, but we can all eat stress-free and hit our wellness goals with ready-to-eat meals from our sponsor, Factor.
Factor's delicious meals are never frozen and can be ready to eat in just 2 minutes. You can pick from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular choices like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Plus, they have more than 60 add-ons like breakfast, lunch, snacks, and beverages to keep you fueled all day long.
So our team was comparing notes recently on our favorite Factor meals, and Katie loved the herb-crusted chicken with mashed cauliflower and toasted almond green beans. I loved that one too. And get this, so did her little boy, Charlie. She heated it up for lunch one day, and Charlie, who's three, ate almost all of the green beans. I mean, that's quite an endorsement, right?
I was going to say, what a parenting win. And I get it, Charlie. Those green beans are crazy good. And if you really want to treat yourself, they even have meals with filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus. Listeners, head to factormeals.com/momhour50 and use code momhour50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code momhour50 at factormeals.com/momhour50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Okay, Megan. Well, over here at the Mom Hour, we are big fans of our sponsor, Our Place. In fact, you, me, and our team member, Katie, were all comparing notes on our favorite product. Katie was telling us that even though she's packing up to move her family to a new house, she cannot put that mini perfect pot from Our Place into the boxes yet because she's using it like every night.
Well, as someone who also has a perfect pot, I got mine as part of their mini home cook duo set. I get it. It's nonstick, which is key, but it also has all these handy features like a steam release lid with a built-in strainer and this nice beechwood spoon that nests on the handle in this perfect little peg.
Okay, well, I didn't get this pot, but now I want it. That sounds so great. Our Place's cookware is great to cook with, beautiful to look at, and healthier for us as well. All of Our Place's products are made without PFAS, also known as forever chemicals. In addition to their cookware and tableware, Our Place is also making waves with their Wonder Oven, the most stylish all-in-one air fryer and toaster oven. Again, free from the forever chemicals found in many of those air fryers.
Listeners, Our Place offers a 100-day trial with free shipping and returns, and we've got a great deal for you. Go to fromourplace.com and enter the code MOMHOUR at checkout to receive 10% off site-wide. That's fromourplace.com, code MOMHOUR.
Okay, so we've hinted at it, obviously, but let's just both share where we are currently with Instagram and kind of what led up to this, and I'll jump in. This, for me, goes back a couple of years, actually. At some point, I stopped creating content on Instagram and really shifted to just consuming. And when I say consuming, I mean scrolling for my own entertainment, like watching reels, watching stories, looking at people's stuff, you know, interacting to some degree. Like I would like and comment on people, you know, and support their stuff, but really I wasn't using it in a like in a two-way conversation. And that was kind of the first red flag for me, because I think any social network, if you are building social connections via that network and using it as a tool, I think can be fine and healthy. I really shifted into consumption mode, away from creative mode. It wasn't like all at once. It was kind of gradual. And every once in a while, I'd make a reel or post some stories. But really, I mean, 99% of my time on the app was consuming. And that has not, I don't know, that has just felt like a little bit of a red flag. So that was number one. In 2023, I took some intentional breaks from the platform, and they were very like Sarah style, where I would declare, I'm going to take the month of May off, or I'm going to take the month of August off, or I'm going to take it off my phone for this vacation. And I did it late in 2022. I did it. And then I did it two or three times in 2023. And then toward the end of 2023, so like 4 months ago, it was your wedding was one of them. So I was like going to your wedding, and Brian and I were going to be together. And I just thought, I'm just going to take it off my phone for this trip. And I did. And then it was like a week and a half later. I was only in Michigan for 2 days for your wedding. And it was like a week and a half later. And I was like, I don't really want to put it back on. And something shifted where instead of feeling like I was going to take a break because I should, or because it was an experiment, to I actually didn't want to have it on my phone. And then this winter we did our big international trip, and I had Instagram on my phone when we were traveling because I was using it as a tool quite a bit to like check a restaurant, or I don't know. I was using it as one of my suite of travel tools. And when that trip was wrapping up, it was right around the new year. And I was like, I think I'm done. But here's the interesting thing, Megan, I didn't take it off my phone. I just was like, I think I just don't want to use it anymore. And so since January 1 of 2024, I have not scrolled at all. I have not been consuming Instagram at all. And like you, I get on my computer periodically to check my DMs. And even when I'm on my computer, I don't look at the content. I look away. I'm like, I don't really want that. I will look to see if I have any messages, but that it's like checking an inbox. So that is where I am right now.
I'm actually looking on my computer at my feed because I want to see when the last time was that I put up something that would indicate that I was doing it in any kind of real time. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like on my phone. And it was, it was like mid-January. So for me, I would say I was not like, just like you, I wasn't in a bad place with Instagram. I've been in a worse place with Instagram where I've actually been like, you know, I feel like it's sucking out my energy, or, I'm doing too much scrolling and not enough creating, or I'm doing too much obsessive posting and not enough consuming. And I want to be clear that I think consuming is fine. Like I consume books. I don't interact with the book.
That's a good point.
I consume news publications. I don't expect them to listen to me when I talk.
Yeah.
But I think that the quality of content on Instagram was not good enough to justify the amount of time I was putting into it. Mm-hmm. I felt like my brain was starting to fry. I was like thinking in 5 second clips. Mm-hmm. I was walking around humming songs that were in reels all day. And there was a lot happening. One thing was I realized I really wanted to, well, I needed to buckle down and start working on my book. And I just didn't have the time. I didn't have the time to spend creating a bunch of content for Instagram or consuming a bunch of content on Instagram. And I was sort of mindlessly just doing that.
Yeah.
So that wasn't great. But the thing that I think really did it for me was I got bored, because I'm not good at making changes in my life just because I should.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things I should do differently, and I don't. I think I got bored. I think the content I was seeing wasn't great content anymore. It was all derivative. It just started to bore me a lot. And I got bored because what I was doing there didn't seem like anybody was seeing it. So it was like, I'm going on here and putting up what I think is really good work, and I'm not getting any real engagement from people. I'm like scrolling through stuff, like a bunch of content put out by people I don't know at all. It wasn't, you know, when you're scrolling reels, you're not even seeing people you're following.
Right.
You're seeing randos. And then when I was scrolling my feed of people I did follow, I started to feel like everyone's content looked the same, because now everyone, and we talked about this recently, I can't remember what episode it was, but where I was saying it all feels the same to me. I feel like everybody out there now is trying to present themselves as a life coach or something. Mm-hmm. It was like, we're all the same. We're all doing the same things. Yeah. We're all saying the same things. And I found it profoundly boring. And one night I was laying in bed, and I think it was like a Sunday night, and I had a busy week coming up, and I was scrolling just to do it, just to just because it was there. And I was like, you know what? I think I'm just going to delete I'm just going to delete Instagram so that tomorrow morning when I wake up, I'm just reminded right away that I don't want to spend time here.
Mm-hmm.
And it was helpful because otherwise I would have just opened the app, not thinking. Yeah. And I was like, I'm just going to get rid of it. And the next morning I picked up my phone and was like, yeah, I went to open. I was like, oh, right. I deleted it. And then I was like, welp. And didn't miss it even a little bit. Yeah. And that's different. I will say other times that I've sort of forced a change, I have had a little bit of a withdrawal. Like mm-hmm. I missed it. And this time, nothing. Like I was like, oh, all right. So when I said at the beginning of the episode that like all the loadedness had gone out for me, that's what I mean. There wasn't that, oh, this is going to be hard or I'm detoxing. I almost feel like the detox had been happening without me even knowing it because I cared so little. And then there was a time like a few weeks later where I was like, I should really install it again because I really want to post some like a story and you can't do that on desktop. And then I thought, no, I'm not going to do that. Because, oh, but I did have to get on. Why did I have to put it back on my phone? I don't remember why. It wasn't for my account. It was for something I wanted to do, maybe for like the bookstore's account or something. Mm-hmm. And I did it and then just deleted it immediately again and thought, I don't want the option. Because if I have the option, then I look around and think, ooh, that would make great content. Or that would be something I could do to promote my site. Or that could be something I could talk about the book I'm writing. And what I really need to be doing is writing the book, not trying to like distract myself in my stories or reels or whatever people are supposedly reading and looking at these days. Yeah. So
interesting. I also think to round out, like, what are we doing now? It's worth mentioning, cause maybe people are curious. We do obviously have a Instagram for the podcast. It's at the Mom Hour. You can come follow us. We manage that in a very, I would say, like, neutral way right now, in that we use it to make sure that our podcast episodes are continuing to show up for the people who discover us there. And we have a small team who helps with some of the posts that we do on Instagram. And I also log into that one on my computer to check DMs every couple of days. So if you message us there, I feel like we're treating it much more like our website or like any other place that represents our business. Like, yes, we are there, but we're not there. And it's more of it's a place that we can be discovered. And that's the smart decision for our business, but we're not hanging out there. And, and you know, that's just where we've landed.
Yeah.
All right. So we're not really on it at all right now. What have you realized? I guess, like, what's the self-awareness around this for you?
Well, I'll start with the most obvious one first. And that was just how much time it was taking up. Brain space it was taking up. But not only that, I think I had begun to reorient myself as a writer around the limitations of the Instagram platform.
Mm-hmm. I know exactly what you mean.
My writing had become dumbed down. And I think I really realized that when I sat down in front of a blank page and thought, how do I do this again? How do I write a full length essay that takes the writer on a journey and delves deeply into something and doesn't, there's a certain way you wrap up an Instagram essay that's kind of cheating. And it's really because you just don't have space.
Yeah.
So I would write things sometimes and be like, this is great. And then I'd put it in Instagram and I'd be like, you've got 1700 characters too many. And then it's like, what stays, what goes. And often the stuff that went, and I think writing short is an art too. And I'm not, of course it is. But the kind of writing I think you want to do, it doesn't always lend itself to that. So I was cramming pieces of writing that should have been longer and more nuanced and detailed into quips, into like little mini sermons or something. And I feel like I got used to being lazy, like sloppy. In my writing, and I didn't like it.
Well, even if the most generous way to say that is maybe there is a way to do a brilliant and moving and impactful Insta essay, let's say, it's still a very limited style. So even if like you had trained yourself, you'd become like a jack of one trade for a while because of that kind of writing. Even if
that's a really good point. I do think that I wrote some stuff on Instagram that was good. I just think that it was Instagram and it wasn't. And I think the other thing I really realized is like, oh my gosh, now that post is buried. No one will ever see it again. Right. Like it doesn't, there's no, it's not searchable. No one's ever going to go dig through all the stuff and see this essay that started at 600 words and I whittled it down to 100 to make it fit. And I would also have these moments where I'm like, oh yeah, I already wrote, I would have a moment and I think I really want to like write about that for my book. And I'd be like, oh, I already wrote an essay about this. I'll just pull it out and expand on it. And then I realized that what I actually wrote was an Instagram post. Mm-hmm. And that's not the same. Like I'd pull it out and be like, oh, that's disappointing.
Right.
Like, that wasn't nearly as nuanced or a thought out as it was in my head. So then it kind of felt like, did I actually have the bones of a great essay and then threw the bones away to make room for, you know, just like whatever the skin, whatever the
pile
was left,
of sexy flesh,
the pile of hair and toenails. I mean, that's really what it felt like. Like I've spent a lot of time trying to game this system and just to grow an audience, which is what everyone's trying to do if they're in our line of work. Not everyone's trying to do that, but people in our line of work are trying to grow an audience. And if they're a writer, they're probably trying to grow an audience so they could write something else. Mm-hmm. And those two things, it's like you're practicing one thing that doesn't get you any better at the other thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So there was that. I also felt a lot of disconnect or tension between being a human being with an online presence, which I think is just who we are. It's 2024.
Yeah.
And if you are anybody who wants to sell anything, you probably need to at least tell people what you're doing. You have to tell people you're there and what's up. But I felt like my Instagram, like many of the Instagrams around me, was starting to make my life into a product. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just enough to talk about the actual product, my book or my class or whatever that I might have going on. I was making my life the thing to be consumed. And I made weird choices. Now, I know that there are definitely accounts where the kids are the product. And I wouldn't say that was ever like my MO. So it wasn't like implicating them in it. But actually, I think over time, my Instagram stopped being about my family, my life, like my real life, my family, my kids, my friends, like me just out doing stuff, and started to become kind of generic, like generically self-helpy or something. Mm-hmm. I can't even quite put my finger on it. But Clara said to me not long ago, Mom, you didn't put a picture of me from my last birthday on Instagram. And I said, yes, I did. She said, no, you didn't. And or Christmas, maybe. I can't remember which one it was, birthday or Christmas. And I said, oh, and then I thought, well, I remember taking a picture and I said, well, maybe I put it in my stories. And then I thought, what a weird thing that it doesn't, not like you have to post pictures of your kids or not, but it had been something I had done for a long time. And I wonder if I, at that moment, was feeling super precious about my feed and the way it looked and didn't want a picture that didn't fit. You know, I don't remember. Mm-hmm. I don't actually think I had any motivation about it at all. If anything, I probably just got busy and forgot. But I had already gotten so far away from Instagram being a place to just share what's going on with me, even if all I have time to do is put Merry Christmas or she's 14, can you believe it, or whatever the thing is, which I would have been perfectly fine with at one point. I think I got to a point where it was like, this has to be a thing. It has to be a polished essay. It has to be a product or I can't post it. And I didn't like that feeling. And so that's something I'm now seeing. I think it's, if you're on Instagram and you have any goal of building an audience, or if you're the kind of person like us who's just interested in how things work and how the sausage is made and how people are doing things, you almost can't help but have one eye on other people's tactics and start to internalize them, even if you don't think you care even a little bit. On some level, you're watching. And I was beginning to shape my writing to fit Instagram and my other content. I was doing more reels. I was doing more of that sort of thing to fit Instagram rather than using Instagram as a platform to share what I really want to do.
Yeah. That makes so much sense.
Yeah. It's just like a weird reversal. And I didn't even see it happening until it had happened.
Well, as you were talking, I was thinking this is the exact reason why I have felt weirdly envious of people who just use these platforms to share cute pictures of their kids with friends and family. And I follow people like this. Like I know people like this in real life, and I know they are not wringing their hands in existential, like, you know, getting, working themselves up into existential fits over this, because they are, they know that the people consuming, now I'm consuming their content probably because I am a personal friend of theirs, but they their only audience is a closed loop of yes. people they know in real life. And I have felt weirdly, like I said, kind of wistful that that is not my situation. And it's because of the of everything you just said about, like, we can't help but layer a what does it all mean? Like, what am I doing? What am I doing here? Who is this for? Like, it's it brings about all of these other questions that I don't think everybody experiences. And many of our listeners listening may be like, I don't know what you guys are talking about. Like, I just like post a picture of my cute kid and move on. Or share something, like share a giveaway from my local bakery and like call it a day. And I do think there are people using the platform like that, but we just have not been those people because of the line of work right. we're in. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I have those people in my life too. And I love looking at their stuff. I did start to see though more of that creeping in even to people who I don't think have any reason to post that way. That's the part that where I think Instagram started to get really weird for me, when it was when I was like, are all of these people influencers?
Mm-hmm.
Is how many people are left who are just like my friends?
Yeah.
I don't even know. I can't tell. And then it was like, oh my gosh, is this what I'm putting out there in the world? You know, thanks.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
We are welcoming back Vionic as a sponsor today. And Sarah, I will be honest. I was sorting through my warmer weather wardrobe the other day, and it could seriously use a refresh. But you know what's good to go? My shoes. I've got a great selection to choose from thanks to the Vionic Vitals collection. And lately, the pair I keep putting on again and again is the Uptown Loafer. I have two pairs, one in sand suede and the other in camel leather. But please don't make me pick a favorite.
Oh, I won't. I'll let you keep both. That's so funny, Megan, because I was a little jealous of your Uptown Loafers. I was the last one on our team to get a pair, but I just did. I also got mine in the sand suede, and I think I've worn them like four times this week. They really finish off a cute spring outfit. The Vionic Vitals collection has the best essential styles for everyday wear to get you ready for spring. And no matter what shoes you choose, you'll be on the go in comfort, because every single pair of Vionic shoes delivers their trademark VioMotion technology for a difference you can feel. Vionic sandals, sneakers, and flats all offer incredible support, stability, and cushioning, and every pair comes with a 30-day risk-free trial, so it's easy to try them out.
Use code THEMOMHOUR15 at checkout for 15% off your entire order at vionicshoes.com when you log into your account. That's a one-time use only. Vionic shoes. Wearable well-being for your feet. Sarah, our sponsor Hiya Health makes a kid's daily multivitamin that parents can feel great about giving their kids because they have no added sugars or dyes. And our kids who have tried Hiya vitamins have loved them, which is important, right? Because what good is a bottle of vitamins that your kid won't take?
Hiya was founded by two dads who didn't like the ingredients label on some of the popular children's vitamins they were seeing on store shelves, so they got to work developing a formula that would help fill the most common nutrient gaps in modern kids' diets. Hiya's chewable kids' vitamin is made with a blend of 12 organic fruits and vegetables and then supercharged with 15 essential vitamins and minerals. They're also vegan, dairy-free, allergy-free, gelatin-free, and nut-free.
Hiya manufactures their vitamins right here in the USA with globally sourced ingredients, and then they ship their chewable vitamins directly to your door on a pediatrician-recommended schedule. We've worked out a special deal with Hiya for their best-selling children's vitamin. You're going to get 50% off your first order. To claim this deal, go to hiyahealth.com/momhour. This deal is not available on their regular website. Go to hiyahealth.com/momhour and get your kids the full body nourishment they need to grow into healthy adults.
Okay, so, man, these are like big questions,
yeah.
But I want you to answer it now. What have you realized since not being really on Instagram?
Yeah. Well, one of the things I was realizing in my lead up to getting off was just how deeply self-conscious I am about other people looking at my life. I think I'm a more private person than maybe I give myself credit for. I mean, we have a podcast where thousands of people listen to us and we tell stories about our lives, and I have done personal writing and stuff. But I just, before I got off, really was realizing that it was taking up too much brain space, as you say, to worry about. It's not so much what will people think of this, but really it is a flavor of that. I was much more obsessive than I would like to admit about who might see what I'm posting and what they might think about it. And so that was not fun. That is just not a fun way to live. So that, anyway, that was more of a realization before getting off the platform. I have realized some things since getting off that I found really interesting. It's like I'm my own psychology experiment over here. One of the first things that I noticed was that even without clicking on Instagram, and I didn't have any desire to, I didn't want to, I very quickly found another source for constant checking and dopamine seeking, and it was news apps. I was refreshing news apps on my phone, and I probably had been doing it before I got off Instagram, but it was probably a little more mixed. It was all mixed in with like a soup of like, click on this, check for this, da, da, da. When I got rid of Instagram, I just realized like, oh my gosh, how many stories can the LA Times deliver to me like in a day that right. I actually want to read? And I would do a swipe down. I'd wait for it to refresh. And then I told you this privately. I found that the stories I was clicking on, even though they are what I would call reputable journalistic newspapers, but the stories I was finding myself to were kind of salacious, even
with it, kind of awful.
Yes. I was finding, I was like going down rabbit holes of crime and like true crime and like weird. I mean, still like published again in a relatively reputable newspaper. I wasn't on the dark web, but so that was one thing. I was like, oh, this clearly there is a dopamine seeking behavior that is like, it's just shifted. It's away from right. Instagram. Now it's on something else. So I took a couple of news apps off my phone. I kept one of them and I still do check the news frequently. I'm not going to say I'm perfect, but I actually just removed a couple of those. I have also realized a few things from Instagram that I genuinely miss and that I like about the platform. And that's worth mentioning because I don't think we're not like trying to, this is not a takedown episode. I mean, it kind of is, but there were some things that genuinely added joy and meaning and value to my life that I actually miss. One of them is following a lot of local organizations and businesses and finding stuff out that's happening in my town. My town doesn't have like, we don't have a great daily newspaper. Like Instagram was my way to know like what bands are playing, what shows are playing, what new restaurants are opening. And I really, really enjoyed not only following that content, but often helping amplify it, liking it, and like cheering on small local businesses. And I miss that because small local businesses use their Instagram and it's not like they miss me. Like they don't care that I'm off Instagram, but they do benefit from, you're an owner in a small local bookstore. It matters when your community is cheering you on social. And I am a little, that's one thing I miss.
I just want to interject really quick.
Please.
I have actually opened Instagram in a browser, not logged in. I'm completely logged out just to look at a business's Insta.
Yeah.
And as long as you're not trying to read comments or comment, it can be effective. Like you can see, you can scroll through and see posts.
Yeah.
So if it's like, you're like, okay, do they have a special today or are they open or whatever?
I've done that a little bit too.
You can still access that information. It's just so hard.
Yeah.
There's so much friction that you're not going to then accidentally end up scrolling for an hour.
Right. And I think where I miss it is kind of the discover, like finding out spontaneously that there's a pop-up maker market in the Presidio, like on Saturday. I'm like, ooh, I want to go to that. Like for a long time, that was how I was feeling connected to my community. But you know what? There are other ways.
Right.
There's also some people that I don't have very much contact with off of Instagram that I genuinely miss. Like I texted our friend Christine Coe, and you know, there are people that I just, Instagram was the place that I quote unquote hung out with them. And so there, I miss that. Do I miss it enough to get back on? I don't think so. It's just it becomes like, what do I want to do with that? Do I want to forge that relationship a different way or whatever?
Yes. And you weren't really hanging out with them.
No, I know. Thing. Yes.
You know, and you know that, but like I'll sometimes so Jenna is on Instagram and she doesn't post very often. She's not trying to be an influencer. You know, she's not a content creator, But she'll post like a picture of the kids or whatever. And I'll see it sometimes and feel like that's it. That transaction was done. Like I feel almost like she and I had a conversation about it when we did not.
Yeah.
And that's something that I think it's great to feel like you're able to keep up with people. We actually had a commenter when we were planning that episode a few months ago about whether parents today have it easier or harder.
Yes.
And one of the comments we got was something like, this mom has relatives who feel like because they liked a photo, that's the same as having a relationship with their kid.
Like with the child. They feel,
with the child.
Yeah.
Like so with they their see grandchild. Photos and they feel like because they see a steady stream of photos, like they've engaged in that kid's life in some way. And actually the kid doesn't know them at all. And the adult doesn't know the kid. Yeah. All they know is the photos. And I mean, it's great that we can do that. It's great that it gives us an easy way to share, but it's like hijacks, I think, sometimes that sensation of hanging out or having a relationship that doesn't actually exist.
Well, so. I will go a step further with that one and say that I started to get very uncomfortable when people would say something to my kids about something they knew they had done. So let's say I had a kid get a black belt in a martial art and my kid is like, wait, how did you know that? And it's like, well, I saw it on your mom's Instagram. And when my kids got to a certain age, I started to feel a little weird about that because I'm not saying they don't know these people. It could be a friend of the family or something, but it's like the kid didn't know that that piece of content had been consumed. Yeah. And it wasn't even that revealing. I wasn't right. posting like super vulnerable things about my kids, but yeah, that anyway, that's more several years ago, but, here's another one that does, I think, fit into the real life online and offline weird mashup. And that is I realized that connecting with people on Instagram after I make a new friend has been a little bit of a social crutch for me. So what I mean is I meet someone in real life. Let's say it's a parent at school or let's just say it's a parent at school. That's most of the ways I meet people and I like them and we hit it off. And then somehow we find each other on Insta. Maybe we both follow the school or maybe we have a mutual friend or something. I am totally guilty of like kind of eagerly consuming that person's content so that I feel like I know them a little bit better. And I think what it really is it's like a social, and I don't think of myself as like severe social anxiety, but it's a wheel greaser when it comes to like, now I know this person, this person's my new friend. Yeah. And also because we're internet friends, we've fast tracked to the point where like, I know what their kitchen looks like and where they went on vacation. And so there have been a couple times since I've gotten off Instagram where I'm like, oh, I really like that person. Or like, I haven't seen that person in a while. And I'm like, well, I guess I'll just have to text them or wait till I see them again and maybe ask them where they went on vacation or like, it's just really interesting. And I wouldn't have known that I was using it that way. Almost as, yeah, like I said, to grease the wheels of a new social connection, but I totally was.
So I think that's interesting because I used to be that way about Facebook and it wasn't necessarily like, I don't think for me it was like greasing wheels. I think it was just excitement over meeting someone and being like, yay, let's be Facebook friends. And I did that because I was very active on Facebook in like, let's say 2008 to 2014, 15. Uh-huh. I think I was really active then. And I have now like accumulated the most rando group of people on Facebook, many of which I met in a bar bathroom or at a conference and talked to them one time and thought I would never forget the amazing conversation we had. Guess what? I forgot. Well, I didn't forget the conversation. I just forgot who it was I had the conversation with.
Yeah.
And now we're Facebook friends. And I'm like, this is so awkward because I don't know who these people are. I don't know that I could pick them out of a lineup. Like we don't have a relationship, but I'm not going to unfriend them now unless I did like a mass unfriending, which I'll probably never bother to do. But I was like that for a long time. I would friend anybody I met. And now I just have like a big pile of friend requests and I've been ignoring them for like years.
Well, the other thing that happens, and I think this is like very timely, is if you make internet friends with someone that you have recently made real life friends with, you are accepting the possibility that you will find out all kinds of persuasions and opinions and beliefs that they have before you've, I don't want to say earned the right, but before you've gotten to that level of closeness in your actual relationship. And I think it can be a bummer if maybe someone feels politically very different from you, maybe like they feed their kids wildly different. It's like all these topics that we've talked about for years on this podcast that can be unnecessarily divisive for moms. It's like you're sort of opting in to maybe finding out that this person really is very different from you in a lot of ways. And if I didn't know those things, might I just continue to see them as a friendly face and get to know them organically in my own time? So anyway.
Yeah.
I guess the last thing that I've realized, and it kind of goes to your looking up a restaurant on the browser when you want to, is I've had these moments. They've been so random. I'll just use Brené Brown as an example. I was like, huh. I haven't heard from Brené Brown in a while. Not like Brené Brown, you know, is a real life friend of mine, but someone that like, if there was a post on her account, I would encounter it in some way, or someone would share a podcast episode or something. And I went and looked up her Instagram, and she doesn't personally use it, but you know, her company does. But there have been people like that where I'm like, why haven't I heard from them in a while? And I'm like, well, hey, dummy, it's because you're not subscribed to the fire hose of the algorithm that decides who you see and hear from in a given day. And I've actually had to then go find that person. Like, oh, I wonder if that person has a new book out. I wonder if that restaurant is open on Sundays. I wonder if, and it's just been a really weird flip of like, instead of information coming at me, I have had to get to the point where I'm like, oh, and this happened with real life people too. Like, I wonder what that person's up to. I guess I will text them.
What I think is interesting about that too, though, is that there's so many people to follow and so many great creators and writers and all those things. It's almost impossible to keep up with it all anyway. Even if you followed every single person that you might be interested in hearing from, you're not going to catch it all.
Well, right. And the algorithm wouldn't show it to you all anyway. It's a false sense of being informed. Yeah.
I've had just in the last couple of months, I've had two novelists that I love found out they're coming out with new books. And I was like, wait, what? How did I miss that? Well, they're not super online. They're not promoting their stuff that hard. And you could say, well, that's, you know, the part of me that has the scarcity brain kind of feels panicky about that. It's like, well, if even that famous writer can't keep their audience informed, like how do you ever expect to do it when your book comes out? And then what I have to then flip around and remind myself of is I could also kill myself trying to be relevant and everywhere and get in front of everybody. And I can't do it anyway. You know, it's like there has to be some place where you draw a line and say, this is the best I can do. And the rest is up to the way it shakes out.
Yeah.
I feel like we've been sold as people who are on this sort of public facing, our business is online. We do these things, like what we do for a living is make content that we want people to find. We've sort of been sold a bill of goods that if we're just on all the platforms, that's the way people find us. And I just don't think it works that way.
I don't
a lot of the time.
And especially anymore.
Yeah, especially anymore.
Well, should we talk about the future? Like, are we going to go back to Instagram? Maybe we just should start there with that question.
Well, I wanted to talk about a little bit about the all or nothingness.
Yeah.
That can kind of be out there in the cultural milieu when we talk about detoxing from social, quitting social. And I know you and I said this at the very beginning. You did a really good job of saying, like, we're not telling you what to do or even what we'll be doing next week. We're just saying where we are right this minute. But, like, we're all allowed to use the tools however we want. We're allowed to leave. We're allowed to come back. We're allowed to scale back. We're allowed to amp up if that's what we feel like. And all of them. And I think Facebook is actually a very interesting case study for me because there was a time when I was very, very on there and I would definitely have said it was part of my online brand. It was like a writer. Like that was my water cooler, but also like a professional hub. Mm-hmm. But it was also where I kind of connected with like local people. It was kind of everything. And it started to get a little crowded in there, honestly. It's kind of hard to have the same conversation with the girl you met in the bathroom bar, at the bathroom of the bar. That you're having with like your editor, you know, and that's kind of, it got real contentious around election times and it just wasn't very fun. So I really scaled back, but I've had times where I'm totally off Facebook and then Facebook started to feel kind of like a like the hassle factor of not being able to easily log in to do things like with businesses I was involved in and things like that was more than I felt drawn to abuse Facebook or use it obsessively or any of those things. So now I sort of have a relationship. Remember how you were saying like you envy people who could just kind of post a picture of their kid and then, then peace out. I feel like I've gotten there with Facebook. If I went back through my, except for things that auto posted from Instagram when I was still using Instagram that way. I think all of my content, I mean, it's been maybe two posts over the last 4 months. And they've been things like talking about something local, rant, like ranting or venting the way people use Facebook for. And it's kind of funny. Like, I don't feel like I have to go on there anymore and present myself as Megan the writer, Megan the podcaster, Megan the brand. You know, I don't have to do that there anymore. So I don't. But it took, now, I'll just say, I still don't really love Facebook. It does, like, the content on Facebook bums me out more than the content basically anywhere. But I also don't feel very loaded about my personal use of it as a creator. So it's like I did get back there. So to
it's
make
almost
a long
like it
story,
doesn't own you anymore. It's not, it doesn't hold any power over you. So you can take it, leave it, use it, use it.
Yeah. And I think what I think that has to do with Instagram is like maybe all in 6 months, maybe I'll be like, you know what? It's kind of a hassle that I can never get on and scroll the feed the way I used to. And I'd rather just be on there. I don't know. I have no idea. So I could see it. And the one other thought I could really see happening, and I was going to ask you earlier, but I'll ask you this in a minute, but I could really see myself logging in as like a brand I'm associated with and only using it for that and having a totally different experience because I actually really like creating Instagram content.
I do too.
If I'm not trying to be a human and a product at the same time.
Yes. Yes. The tools
are
fun.
It's really fun.
The tech is fun. It's creative.
Yeah, and it's effective. It's effective. It works. I love when a local store or restaurant or whatever, a local theater company, I love when they post on Instagram. I don't want that to go away. I just want when I want to be clear about what I'm doing when I'm on there as a creator and that lack of clarity, that the lack of knowing when it was okay for me to stop and feeling like I had to do more, more, more. And if I didn't, I was getting left behind. And like those tools and things are really fun. But I don't think that as an individual content creator, like it's not the same. Okay. So as an example, Paper Mill Bookstore up in the UP, it's at Paper Mill Books. If anybody wants to go on Instagram and follow, every time they post something, this is my family's bookstore. Every time it has a real impact, it really impacts their people who love the store, their customers. People will come in and ask about the discount. They don't have to have a ton of followers. They just have to have the right followers.
Yeah.
It is real hard to think that way when you are the product because there will never be enough.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
if
so
you're
true.
Comparing yourself to like Elizabeth Gilbert or I don't know who's in our space. That's a really old reference for our younger moms. But, you know, if that's the kind of if you're the Glennon.
Yeah.
OK, let's pretend that's what you're aiming for. Well, I'm never going to get there.
Yeah. Also, Glennon, I think, is leaving.
Oh, she's leaving.
I think she
right,
is.
Right, right, right. But like, yeah. So, yeah, even she's seeing the ultimate, you know, the what's the word I'm looking for? The doesn't workness of it. That's not the word. But you know what I mean? So I think they're. I could see myself coming back with a real purpose. And here's the third thing I could see happening. Second thing I could see happening. I could see starting a whole new account that is absolutely anonymous. And I was going to ask if you've ever thought about doing something like that. And just following your local businesses and having that be, that's it.
Okay, that's such an interesting question. I have not done that, but I know people who use it that way. And I can tell sometimes from those who follow us at the Mom Hour, or sometimes someone who follows me personally, if I click through and it's like, you can tell there's no profile picture. The handle is kind of like, you know, gobbledygook letters and but they are following a bunch of accounts. Like, yeah, I mean, that is a strategy. I haven't personally done it, but yeah.
Yeah. I just wonder, it might not fix your thing where you're like, why am I just doing all this consuming?
Yeah.
But I think it might fix my thing of like, how do I show up here?
Yeah. I have many of the same thoughts about the all or nothingness. And like I said at the beginning, this time around, I did not actually remove the app from my phone. It's right where it always was. And that's what's been kind of magical about this time around is that I just don't open it. But like you said, there is a point at which the hassle factor, the extreme boundary you've created for yourself is actually not serving you anymore. And I also think a lot about like, what would it look like to use this as a tool on occasion for the things I need it for, and then not to let it have power over me. And I kept coming back to this analogy of like another utility app we all have on our phone. So let's say like Google Maps or something. Like,
yeah,
Google Maps is an absolutely essential tool. Sometimes I use it daily, but sometimes I might go a week without needing it because I'm just driving around my little hometown. Never would I sit on my couch and open Google Maps and just get sucked in until I felt gross. Like, it is a utility. It's extremely valuable, and I appreciate the technology that powers it, but it doesn't hold any allure to me. And that's like where I would love to get with Instagram. I don't know that I don't have a book right now, so I'm a little in a different position than you. I was not really it's been a couple years since I've thought of my Instagram account as like promoting anything, although I think it's now been 2 weeks. We did an episode about our writerly life, and I am starting to freelance again. And I do have that feeling of like, oh shoot, I should go on and like share that article that I had published. And guess what? I could do that. Like, it's on my phone. So I could pop in, amplify this article that I had published somewhere, because it's a show of good faith to my editor and the paper that like, I'm going to help, you know, spread the word about this thing, and then get off. That's a world in which I'm using the tool for what it is, but it doesn't have any hold over me. And that's kind of like my vision. But yeah, planting that seed about like, is there a world in which a totally separate account like comes into play? Or like you said, using the knowledge and skills we have to help help a brand or a company, a small business, build their Instagram. I think that could be fun. Like, I'd be someone else's. I would do someone else's Instagram content probably before I do my own.
Yeah. I was thinking about right now when I want to share something, it is a little bit of a hassle getting on my computer. I have to make sure any photo that maybe is on my phone ends up on my computer. It's just like a little bit. It's not a ton, but it's a little bit of hassle. Right now, I don't know that I'd want to download the app again to be able to get past that.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe I don't care anymore. Like, maybe I wouldn't. Maybe the thing is, of what I would have to do is set a boundary and be like, what I'm not going to do is now feel like every time I do something online, I have to share it in a story. Yeah. Or every time I do, anybody else tags me, I have to go amplify that. Like,
yeah,
there had to be a hard stop.
Yeah.
Because there comes a point where you kind of can't hard stop yourself otherwise.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
if everything's open, you try to do all of it. And that was when I cut myself off. That was why I did it that way. But I could totally see a world in the future where I go back.
Well, and the hard stop is actually really useful. If anybody's like listening to this and thinking about it as an experiment, I think we've both spoken to the things you realize about yourself, your creativity, your time, your like less flattering character aspects, like self-consciousness or comparison culture. Those things really bubble to the surface when you do a hard reset. And that's true whether you hit a pause on drinking alcohol or on online shopping or like any of these, any of these numbing techniques. So I think the hard stop and the hard boundary can absolutely serve a purpose. And then I think what we're both saying is maybe there's also a world where this is just another app on our phone, just another tool in the toolkit, and doesn't require such hard boundaries.
I mean, I am flipping right now through my phone, and there's a million apps that are like that. Like, I would never, for example, open up my, which one do I even start with? Like, all of them.
Yeah.
Except for one social media platform was mostly ignored. I even sort of tried to get myself hooked on Substack. I have the app, and there is like a notes. There's a sort of a, not trying to get myself hooked, but I thought maybe that would be like a good replacement.
A replace. I knew exactly what you meant. Yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to get addicted to it, but it's got sort of a social media like feature. It's just not quite as, it was not quite as addictive on purpose as Instagram was. And so I'm like, meh.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't need that. I mean, most of these apps, it's like Yelp, you know, maybe I bet there's someone out there who's like super addicted to Yelp.
Yeah. And the real estate, people get kind of addicted to looking at real estate. I know that. That has not been my online shopping. Like, I know Jane and Zulily both folded recently, but I will admit that on certain Instagram breaks, I would find myself like opening up a shopping app. And that's not normally, online shopping is not normally a, I guess, a temptation or a like a technique of mine, a dopamine seeking behavior, but I can see how it would be. Like, I absolutely can see how the apps. So there are other apps. Instagram's not the only one, I think, that does this, but there are plenty, to your point, that we do not feel called to open up and just wander around.
What if we just all got hooked on our own photo apps? Like, we opened up Google Photos and scrolled back like 5 years. And just got lost like in our own content. Stream.
What's funny about that is I actually do open my Google Photos app daily because I'm compulsive about deleting like photos I don't need. So maybe I'm probably just a compulsive phone user, but there's definitely a spectrum of things that are healthier than others. I wanted to ask about one last question about taking photos in general, like forget any kind of sharing or social sharing, but actually like, you see your kids are in a cute moment, or you and your husband are having a fun time, or you're in a beautiful place of nature. Has being off of Instagram changed the way you think about taking photos? Do you take more? Do you take less? Do you forget? And I have my own answer, but I want to hear yours.
Gosh, I'm trying to think. I think I'm taking less overall, but not that many less.
Okay.
And I think now what I'm doing is just quickly texting them to someone or sharing them. Cause I still do feel like I want to share.
Yeah. You send them to me sometimes and I get so happy. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like, oh, I took this picture. I want to share it. And that's something that hasn't gone away. That would not have been a thing for me 10 years ago. 10 years ago, if I took a picture, I would just think it would stay on my camera, I guess, until I had something to do with it. Maybe I'd put it on my blog, but that was not quite the same as that instantaneous sharing. And now I am very conditioned to do that, but I have lots of people I can share things with. I have you. I have a little text thread with Eric and my sister and her husband, Eric, and we text each other photos all day, like just of things we're doing. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I take fewer because I don't really have to make sure I've got all angles and
B-roll
things. Like, I think I take more things landscape.
Yeah.
Oh. I really like a good landscape photo. And for a long time, I really didn't take any.
Yeah. That's so
interesting. And I took a lot of video for a while. I was doing a lot of reels.
Yep.
So I was taking tons of 2 and 3 second video, which is great. Except sometimes I would just want a photo and be like, oops, I guess I didn't do that.
Right. Right. Yeah. What about you? You know, I think the biggest change for me happened more like 2 or 3 years ago when I stopped posting as much on social platforms. And then I stopped taking pictures like almost at all. Like it was, and I had to kind of come back from that and remind myself, like, there's such value in taking these pictures, even if they don't go anywhere. And so, I have a little like in my Todoist app, which is how I manage my tasks and productivity. There's just a little daily task that reminds me to take pictures. And if I get to the end of the day and I haven't taken any pictures, I don't like go out and try and find a photo shoot at dusk in my yard, but it is a good reminder. And often what happens is when I see that, I'm like, oh yeah, I did take a couple pictures today. I took a picture of the cats or the sunrise. So I have actually had to like, train myself back into remembering. I really enjoy photography. I enjoy having the pictures to look back on. This also, social media aside, kids get to an age where they aren't in front of you quite as much. They also don't want to be photographed quite as much. So we've talked about that. That has coincided with my kids getting older, but I don't want to get to the end of a week and only have screenshots on my phone. So I have made it a practice, even though I'm not sharing.
Sarah, you know how many screenshots I probably have in my Google Photos right now? I bet it makes you just shudder to think about it.
I mean, if you got kidnapped by aliens or something, we'd be able to probably like, we'd have everything we needed. And,
but I don't like what that would say about me. Do you feel like if I went in Google Photos and searched screenshot, they'd all come up and then I could just delete them?
And sometimes like the little robot AI widget will sometimes say, these appear to be screenshots. Would you like to delete them? And it will show you a whole batch and you can go through and batch delete.
Well, as soon as we're done here, that's what I'm going to do.
Then you'll get addicted to your Google Photos app.
I'm planning on it. I'm going to try to get hooked.
Oh my gosh. Well, thanks for sticking with us, everybody, in our deep dive on Instagram. We're very curious about others out there who may be rethinking this relationship, or maybe you're in a great place with your relationship. So we love to hear from you. We're hello@themomhour.com. That's our email address. We do pop into our private Facebook community periodically. That's another great place to continue the conversation and hear from other listeners. If you're not in that group and you like Facebook groups, there's a link in our show notes to join that group. Be sure to answer the membership questions. And Megan, I will not see you on Insta. Remember when we were sending reels to each other, like 6 reels a day, every day?
I know. And whenever I log into to Instagram now, I will see that like my sister and all my kids and people are sending me reels.
Because like, you trained them.
No, I did. I trained them. I'm like, so sorry. I'm not doing that anymore. Ooh, ouch. Yeah.
Oops. Sorry. Bye.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll talk to everybody soon.
Talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening to The Mom Hour. Everything we talked about in today's episode is available at themomhour.com. And hey, while you're there, you can find more than 500 podcast episodes, plus articles, playlists, and resources about motherhood and parenting at every stage.
And if you like today's episode, we'd love it if you would take a minute to share the show with another mom in your life. You can also find us on Instagram @themomhour, chatting and interacting with listeners between episodes.
Thanks for being here, friends. We'll talk to you soon.
The Mom Hour is supported by partners like Erica. Erica is the social media health app for teens that gives them the tools to unplug when they need to for improved health, study focus, sleep, and daily balance.
Erica was built by a dad of 3 boys who saw that teens themselves were really becoming self-aware to the risks of social media, and he wanted to help them self-regulate. Erica works to hide distracting apps from your phone at the touch of a button, keeping them out of sight and out of mind without deleting your data.
Tell your teens about Erica and save 20% on the Erica family plan with promo code TheMomHour. Go to erica.app and search for plans. That's Erica with a K, Erika.app, and use code TheMomHour to save 20%.
The Mom Hour is brought to you by partners like Chatbooks. Chatbooks makes it beyond easy to create beautiful photo books by importing your digital photos from anywhere. Instagram, Facebook, Google Photos, or directly from your phone. The books come in a variety of sizes with beautiful cover options and binding styles to choose from, and they start at just $15. Plus, we have a great deal just for our listeners. Use code THEMOMHOUR20 to save 20% off your purchase. Just download the Chatbooks app and use code THEMOMHOUR20 to save 20%.